This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And what a great day it is to be in the house of God to worship together. And I'm glad to welcome you here this morning. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us today. All of us hope that you feel welcome in this place and have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you, both at the passing of the peace and at the end of the service. We have a practice in our congregation of signing in each Sunday, and those registration pads, I hope, are at the end of the row and are making their way down. And as they go down the row and back again, I invite you to pay attention to the names of those friends sitting with you on your row. And if there's someone you've never met before, reach out the hand of friendship this morning and meet someone new. If you are visiting with us and would like to know more about our congregation and the ministries we're doing, I invite you to go into Reed Hall at the end of the service. It's out this door, and it's that gathering area just there where there will be Andrew ministers who have blue name tags on, and they'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. Wanted to let you know that next Sunday at 9:30, there will be a tour of the building. So whether you're a visitor or you're a member and still don't quite know your way around, that will be a great way to learn and get familiar with our building. So that will be at 9:30, gathering at the brand new welcome deck next week. Also next Sunday at 1 o'clock, we have our annual charge conference. This is a meeting when our district superintendent comes and gathers us to make decisions around our budget and our nominations for officers next year. And everybody's welcome to come. If you would like to come, it starts at 1 o'clock. We will have lunch available, but we do need your RSVP. So that information is in your insert this morning. Believe it or not, we are coming close to Advent. Advent is quickly approaching. The first Sunday of Advent is December 3rd, and we're going to have a special evening on December 3rd that I want to highlight for you. At 4 o'clock, we'll have our annual wreath-making workshop, which is for everybody in the church who would like to make an Advent wreath. That starts at 4 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, our choir will be leading us in the Christmas oratorio. And then there will be dinner served from 5:30 all the way to 7:30. So you can go to the wreath making, the oratorio, and dinner, or you can pick and choose which of those events best suits you and or your family. But if you would like to come to the meal, we do need an RSVP for that. There's no charge, but we need to know how many we can plan for. All those details also are in your insert. We have 3 more weeks, however, until Advent begins, and we have 3 more parables of Jesus to explore together. So as we prepare to hear the story this morning of the 10 bridesmaids, let us do all that we can to be fully present and ready to meet God in this hour of worship.
Thank you. pulled in countless directions. This day, in this place, we open our hearts and spirits to God. Praise be to God who sustains and nurtures our lives. Let us confess our sins to the one who searches and knows us. Merciful and gracious God, we confess that we block out our schedules to fit you into our busy lives. Forgive us for trying to make you a scheduled event. You are the eternal God who always loves and receives us. Help us to keep our eyes on you throughout every part of our lives. Open our eyes to see you in our midst, that we might be ready at all times to serve you and your people. Amen. The God who has never strayed from you is with you. We have been forgiven. Now we are challenged to go forth in peace and love to a hurting world. Thanks be to God for all mercy shown continually to each one of us. Please join us as we live out our affirmation of faith that indeed we are not alone, and we share the peace of Christ with one another and greet your neighbor. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Durham and Sarah Pettigrew bring their daughter, Emma Catherine Pettigrew, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Sarah and Durham, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life, and include this person now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in her service to others. We will pray for her, that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray.
Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away her sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name is given this child? Emma Catherine, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you'll put your hands on her here. Emma Catherine, being born of water and the Spirit, may you grow to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Come out here with me. All right, church. This is Emma Catherine, your new little sister in Christ. And what we have just done is pledged to help Emma Catherine grow in love of God and neighbor. And so take a good look at her, because she's counting on you to be a part of this wonderful work.
Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Emma Catherine to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love.
We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Emma Catherine, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Good job.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. you had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he replied, Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. The word of God for the people of God.
Grown-ups may be seated. I'm so glad to see all of you here this morning. Wow, can you see me all the way down there? Good morning. Glad you're here in worship. Well, if you were hearing the story that Eli just read for us, it's another parable that Jesus told, a story that Jesus told, and it involves lamps. Now, does this look like any lamp you've ever seen? In your house? No, I don't have lamps like this in my house. But back in Jesus' day, they didn't have electricity. They didn't have lamps like we have. They didn't even have candles like we have candles. What they had were these sort of lamps that look like little bowls. And in the bowl was oil. And then you have some sort of string, some cloth, that you would light, and because there was oil in the lamp, it would catch on fire and there would be a nice flame. So you could sit in your house and have light that would fill the whole house. I actually bought this little lamp in Nazareth, the town where Jesus grew up. Now, it's not 2,000 years old, but it does look like some of the lamps that Jesus might have had in his house. So as he tells this story, which has a lot in it, one of the things it makes me think about is how important it is to have oil in your lamp if you want the light to burn. And if I were to run out of oil, there would be no light. I couldn't use my lamp. So I think Jesus wants us to think about what is the oil that we can have in our heart so that the light of Jesus shows through us. Maybe if I take time to pray every day, if I read my Bible, if I try to be kind and generous with other people, if I come to church and I sing the songs, all of that helps God's love grow in us. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says it's important to have lots of oil in your lamp. It's important to do everything we can to let God's love shine in us. Let's pray together. Gracious God, thank you for the light of Jesus that shines love in us and in your whole world. Help us to do everything we can to shine that light, to pray and to worship and to be kind to others so that your light might shine even more brightly through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. I am the youngest of four children, and one of the things I learned from a very early age was it's important to share. When there are that many kids in a household, you have to learn to share. But I would guess that that's a lesson most of us learned as children. You have to share. It's important to share. If we were to walk around the halls of our preschool on any given weekday or walk around the Sunday school classes for the children this morning, probably at least one teacher would be saying, now we need to share. I mean, if I have a piece of pie and the person next to me has no pie and they want some pie, Well, wouldn't the kind thing to do be to share some of my pie with them? It's pretty simple, isn't it? It's a basic teaching of human goodness. Which is why I think this parable of the 10 bridesmaids is a little confusing for us. Because there are 5 bridesmaids who have enough oil for their lamps, and 5 bridesmaids who don't have enough oil. And the first 5 don't share. And yet they're lifted up as the heroines of this story. So what's going on? What in the world is Jesus trying to teach us in this parable? Well, before we go any further in the parable, I always think it's important to step back a little bit and see where the parable falls. Who is Jesus talking to? What's going on around him as he's saying these things and telling these stories? Well, if you've been in church over the past few weeks, you may remember that Jesus has been talking a lot with the Pharisees and the scribes and people who are against him. But when we get to this point in the 25th chapter, he's not talking to them anymore. He is now talking to his disciples. They have walked out of the temple together, and his disciples have said, "Wow, look at this beautiful temple." And Jesus says, "This temple is going to be destroyed." And his disciples are shocked, and they start asking him what he means. And he begins to talk to them about the end of the age. And we have this whole strange chapter in chapter 24 that is what we call apocalyptic writing, talking about the end of the age. And then he tells them 3 parables for those disciples to tell them how important it is for them to be ready. No matter when Christ returns, no matter when that end happens, they're not going to know. It doesn't matter that they know when it is. What matters is that they're ready. And so he tells them 3 parables, and we'll be hearing them for the next 3 weeks. The first of these parables is the 10 bridesmaids. So there's a wedding, and we don't know a whole lot about weddings in the first century, but unlike today, where bridesmaids go and ride around in petal taverns in downtown Nashville, there was some tradition among bridesmaids where they waited for the bridegroom to arrive so they could all celebrate the wedding feast. And these 10 bridesmaids are waiting outside at night for the couple to arrive so that they can begin the party. And the bridegroom is delayed and delayed and delayed. They all fall asleep. And then at midnight, the shout goes up, the bridegroom has arrived, it's time for the party. And 5 of those bridesmaids have run out of oil. Now you would think, given all the things that Jesus has taught us up to this point, that the kind and compassionate thing to do, the radical generosity that Jesus seems to require in so many of his teachings, would be that these 5 who have oil would give theirs up, would actually say, "Here, you take my oil." What a self-giving act of sacrifice that would be. What generosity that would be, but that's not what they do. You would think they might join in solidarity as a group. So let's all divide up our oil equally, and if we all get shut out of the party, we're all shut out together. That's a beautiful image, I think, of compassion and solidarity, but that's not what happens. Someone in early morning Bible study on Tuesday said, "Why didn't they at least say, well, why don't you stay in our light? We'll carry our lamps, but you stick close to us and you can follow us and be in our light." Wouldn't that have been a kind and compassionate response under these circumstances? But that's not what happens. These 5 bridesmaids say, "No. If we give you our oil, there won't be enough." So I have to wonder, what does that oil represent? Maybe the oil in the story represents something that cannot be shared. Maybe there are some things that we cannot do for other people or we cannot share with other people. Maybe that oil in the lamp represents our devotion and our love for God and neighbor. And we can't do that for somebody else. Make the comparison, it may be a weak one, but it reminds me a little bit of the journey of recovery If you've been through recovery or you've loved someone who's been in recovery from an addiction, there's only so much that you can do for that other person. You can pray for them, you can do an intervention, you can encourage them, you can help them get help. But until that person decides for him or herself that they're ready and that they want to take this journey on, we can't do it for them. So if that's the case, if somehow this oil represents our responsibility to keep that flame going and to trim our lamps and be ready, the question it leaves in our hands is, how's our oil supply? What shape is your lamp in? Are you and I doing everything we can to be ready for God, to be watchful, to keep awake? To see where God is at work in the world? To trim that lamp of love for God and neighbor in every way that we know how? When we hear these parables of Jesus in this last part of Matthew, there's this tone of urgency underneath them. Jesus is getting ready to leave them, to be arrested and killed. And soon he will not be with them in the same way. So he wants them to get it. He wants them to be ready. He wants them to be doing the things that he's been teaching them to do all along. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it's easy perhaps to fall asleep, to get complacent, to lose that fire and that sense of urgency in our faith. But I don't know about you, but here lately, I have been feeling more and more the urgency of faith. And I have been worried about my own light of love and hope flickering. I got home from worship last Sunday, and I got ready to go for a walk because that's what I do right after church. If I sit down in a chair, I'll never get up on Sunday afternoon, so get on my walking clothes, and I'm about to head out the door, and I hear David go, "Oh, no." And I asked him what was up, and he showed me his phone and the news of the shooting in Texas. And as I walked after hearing that news, I felt within myself an anger. I'm so tired of this, and I'm so frustrated, and I feel so helpless that anything will ever be done to make this better, to change what is happening in our culture. And I began to despair around that. And then this week, all of the headlines of the curtain being drawn open on all of the powerful people who have abused and harassed the vulnerable. And I have really felt close to despair as I have faced our sin as a human race. And then two things happened. I was reading a magazine, The Christian Century, that I get every week, and in it was a quote from an author, Ta-Nehisi Coates. Stephen Colbert was interviewing him about racial justice in our culture, and he said, "I'm not the person you should go to for hope. You should go to your pastor. Your pastor provides you hope. Your friends provide you hope." And then I was at lunch with a group of clergy from Nashville. We were being hosted by Emily Towns, the dean of Vanderbilt Divinity School. And we were talking about racial justice in our city. And she said, "You know, we can't afford to lose hope. We can't give in to despair. We worship a God of hope." And I felt that flame flickering within me. That we are people of hope. And no matter what is going on in our world, we are called to tend the flame of Christ's love and Christ's hope for the sake of our world. Because I think more than ever in our lifetime, our world needs the people of God to be falling in love with God and neighbor. The world needs the church to be the church, and it's getting urgent out there. And so what are we doing to tend the flame of Christ's love within us? What are we supposed to do? We're called to do all those things Jesus taught us to do. feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the sick and imprisoned, pray, worship, come together with other believers. I needed those voices this week to remind me of the hope that is within me. And I need you with me every week to remind me of the love of God and the grace and mercy and vision of justice that God places on our hearts. So we hear this story this morning, and together we are called to keep our lamps trimmed and burning. Let us always be ready to see the kingdom of God breaking in upon us, because it's happening here and now. Amen. That is an affirmation of faith. And we're going to join you, Miss Emma, in affirming our faith together. On page 883, a statement of faith from our brothers and sisters in the United Church of Canada. Will you stand as you're able? And let us affirm our hope and our faith in the God who is breaking in among us. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have a prayer request that you'd like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if that is to be shared or it should be confidential. And you can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Emily Sky Murdoch, who was born on October the 22nd to Heather and John Murdoch. She is welcomed also by her grandparents, Linda and John Murdoch, and her aunt, Carolyn Murdoch. We're also happy to welcome Caroline McCall Chambers, who was born October the 29th to Jocelyn and Nick Chambers. She's also welcomed by her big brother, Henry Chambers. This morning, we remember the family and friends of Dr. Ewart Goodell Watts, who passed away on November 3rd. The memorial service has been scheduled for Saturday, December the 9th at 2 p.m. in the sanctuary, with visitation following the service in Reed Hall. We remember Rob Bigelow, who is mourning the death of his father, Bob Bigelow, who died on November the 3rd in Clinton, Michigan. Services will be held Saturday, November 18th at Macon United Methodist Church in Clinton. Among his survivors are his grandchildren, Anna and Peter Bigelow. And Bonnie Say and her family are mourning the death of her aunt, Dr. Irene Beavers, who died on November the 5th. Services will be held Monday, November the 13th in Ames, Iowa, with burial in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, to follow at a later date. Let us now turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Great God of heaven, there are so many things for which we are thankful, for moments of connection with a gathered community, for music and words that help us to draw nearer to you,
for moments of stillness and peace. We give you thanks. This morning we remember all those who served our country and work for peace and justice and safety throughout the world. And we give you thanks for our veterans. In silence now, O God, we offer to you our personal gratitude and praise. O Lord of our hearts, even as we offer you our thanksgiving, we recognize our deep need for you. We ask for healing for the broken places in our lives and in our world. We seek your mercy and grace, not only for ourselves, but for all who suffer, all who struggle, all who grieve, all who fear. We lift up to you the people of First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, and all those whose lives have been impacted by gun violence. In silence now, O God, we offer you our prayers for healing. O ruler of all, we recognize that our prayers are just part of our life of faith, and that you call us to live out that faith each and every day. Give us ears to hear, hearts to love, words to speak, courage to respond, that our lives might be reflections of the Christ who calls us. Transform us and help us to be ready, that we might participate with you in the transformation of the world. In silence now, O God, we offer you ourselves. All of our prayers, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you, O God, in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Lisa Glott, pastor of Missions and Outreach. This year's stewardship theme is West End Loves, West End Gives, and I've been asked to talk a little bit about outreach here at West End. You know, it's a joy to serve a church that's so generous in its giving. not only through the budget, but through communion offerings, the alternative gift catalog, the missions market, disaster relief. So far this year, West End has given over $245,000 in support to, I think it's 40 ministries and nonprofit organizations. You see a number of these on the insert you'll find in your bulletin. In addition, we've distributed over $13,000 in financial assistance to people in need. Truly, West End does love and West End gives. 95% of the outreach budget goes directly to support organizations that work with the poor, the marginalized, immigrants, those needing health care, dental work, housing, rental assistance. Most of the budgeted outreach funds are given through grants, and we have organizations, they submit grant applications, and the Missions and Outreach Committee meets and prayerfully discerns how we'll distribute the outreach funds to these different organizations. And I wanted to share a few stories this morning. If any of you know Susan Brown, then you've heard about her volunteer work with the Little Pantry That Could. It's a grant recipient that provides free food free of charge on a weekly basis to anyone in need. Now, Susan's volunteer work includes helping people shop and restocking the shelves, but she'll tell you that the most important thing in her life has been the relationships that she's developed with people that she never realized that she would be friends with through volunteering at the Little Pantry That Could. She truly finds that she's found her place of service, and she discovered the Little Pantry That Could 3 years ago through West End's Great Day of Service. West End has supported Project Transformation since its very beginning. And this summer, I attended Project Transformation celebration event and was inspired to hear one of our members, Jeff Hoffman, share about tutoring in their after-school program and what a difference it's made in his life. He'll share he was very resistant to volunteering, but once he started volunteering, he really has found a place where he feels like he's making a difference. Allison and Bill Walker also tutor with Project Transformation, and they'll tell you about how meaningful it's been for them. If you've ever thought about tutoring children, I hope you'll talk to Jeff, Bill, and Allison about working and volunteering with Project Transformation. Lastly, I want to tell you about Ellen. I met Ellen one Sunday morning several months ago. She had visited worship, and she was currently homeless and needed a place to stay for a couple of nights. She had a job but could not stay at the Women's Mission because they would not let her bring her tools in, which she needed in order to work. So I put her up for two nights at a hotel and introduced her to Open Table Nashville. A few weeks ago, I received a text message, and it was a picture of Ellen. It was a picture of Ellen moving into her own place. The grant that we award to Open Table Nashville provides funds to help people like Ellen move into permanent housing. West End loves, West End gives. Let's continue to make a difference in this world. Your gifts help us do this. Please prayerfully consider how God is leading you and your family to show your love through West End United Methodist Church through your giving by filling out an estimate of giving card. Thank you. And now, one way we give is through our offerings. One of the ways we live out our faith is through the giving of our tithes and offerings. In thanksgiving for the gifts of God, may we offer our gifts back to God with joy.
And now may we go from this place to fulfill that promise, to follow Jesus where he leads us. And when we follow, we receive his grace, his mercy, and his peace, not just for our sake, but for the sake of the world. Amen.